Do you want to know who's the hottest president? Doesn't make you glow to learn sick cabello. That's the reward you will earn if you spend some time with us. We all dress like your dad and wear glasses. We assure you it's not that bad with three dudes wearing glasses.
My name is Gus, and I'm wearing a big, cozy gray and white sweater.
My name is Mitchell, and I'm wearing Unisonus merch.
My name's Evan, and I'm wearing a green t-shirt.
And we are three dudes wearing plaid. Every week on this show, we learn something brand new. The only catch is we have no idea what we're going to be learning about yet. I was just saying, I'm starting to get concerned that something is genuinely wrong with me because I'm so tired all the time.
Oh, no.
Are you anemic?
Well, not dangerously so.
Okay. Okay.
I could still donate blood if I wanted to.
It's well within the parameters, then.
Yeah. To be clear, I don't want to, because I have the fear, but theoretically I could.
You know what? People always get so tired and, like, woozy after they give blood. Maybe what you need to go is, like, go down there and be like, hi, I'm a little anemic and I'm tired all the time. Can I have some more blood, please?
You just give me a shot or two.
Just a little blood for fun.
I think I deserve it.
It's got to go, like, it's got to go somewhere. I've helped with blood drives. You load it up into a truck. It's like, they got to give it to people, I guess.
Yeah, like, what happens if they have extra blood? Are they just going to let it go to waste? No, give it to me.
Just going to drink it.
Well, that's what I meant when I said a shot. I didn't mean, like, give it to me in a needle, because, again, I have the fear. I want a shot glass.
I don't know, man. Like, there's definitely been 80 vampire pieces of media where they drink blood out of a shot glass, but it just seems like thick to me, like ketchup.
Blood,
like, you wouldn't want. Yeah, you wouldn't want to do like a ketchup shot.
Have you ever bled before, Mitchell?
It's not as thick as ketchup, but it does. But my thing is, like, donated blood coagulates eventually when it's just, like, sitting out.
Okay, yeah, if it's just sitting out, it's going to coagulate. But, like, I'm assuming you drink it fresh. Like, you know that the blood that comes out of you isn't thick, right?
Yes, I have bled before, believe it or not. That shit comes.
Would you like to bleed again?
Do you bleed?
No, I guess not. No, it comes out of my nose all the time. I know exactly what it tastes like, and it's metal. So it's like, that's the other thing. It wouldn't be very, a shot of blood wouldn't be tasty. It'd just be like a liquefied iron bar. It's just like, nah. Yeah.
You mean you don't eat iron just for fun?
Like a goat? Do goats actually do that? Am I making that up?
Goats eating iron? Can?
The tin cans thing, right?
According to modernfarmer.com, no.
Oh, well, that's the end of the episode.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's been a pleasure having you. We had
now,
a question.
Vampire goat, that would be terrifying.
Oh, that's the new DLC vampire for Goat Simulator.
I don't think I've ever seen a depiction of, I mean, A, a vampire goat, but B, anybody drinking blood out of a shot glass in media. But there's so goddamn much vampire media, it must be in there somewhere.
We've reached the critical mass of vampires, yes.
I'm assuming, like, the Lamia never drank blood out of a shot glass.
So, we've been talking about vampires, and we've been talking about goats. Okay, vampires are moderately demonic. They're a bit devilish. Why is Satan a goat?
Very good question, Evan.
Well, Evan, it's funny you should ask, because he's not necessarily.
Oh!
Satan was not, perhaps originally, considered a goat.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of evil goat imagery actually comes from Baphomet? Baphomet?
Baphomet. Mm.
It's probably better if we don't pronounce these things correctly.
Baphomet, who is a deity that the Knights Templar were accused of worshipping, and that subsequently was incorporated into occult and mystical traditions, according to Wikipedia. Since 1856, the name Baphomet has been associated with the, quote, Sabbatic goat image drawn by Eliphas Levi? Eliphas Levi? He's got accents in his name, so I'm just assuming he's French. Which contains binary elements representing the symbolization of the equilibrium of opposites.
Oh boy.
This seems pretentious as all hell. Anyway, he's a goat demon that theoretically the Knights Templar worshipped, and then he just sort of got associated with satanic imagery because of that.
That's interesting, because the line between angel to snake to goat-headed man who has his hands in that kind of like pointing at the moon posture is not a straight line.
No, certainly not. I would argue that the line from angel to goat is actually much straighter without snake in the middle.
I agree. Oh, here's some interesting stuff on the etymology of Baphomet.
Oh?
Most modern scholars think that it comes from a corruption of the old French Muhammad, which is what they called the Prophet Muhammad, whom we all know. And so it is through that sort of like a bastardization of that term that the Templars, while they were in Outremer, which is what they called the Holy Land back in the old days, began referring to this devilish figure of Baphomet as.
Something else that has been sort of guessed at in terms of the etymology, according to Pierre Klosowski in Le Baphomet, it has diverse etymologies. The three phonemes that constitute the denomination are also said to signify, in coded fashion, Basileus Philosophorum Metaculorum, the sovereign of metallurgical philosophers, that is, of alchemical laboratories that were supposedly established in various chapters of the temple.
There
so it is. It's probably the prophet, but also maybe he's the king of the metal philosophers.
Interesting.
And he might also be the king of the metal philosophers.
Oh.
Because,
very clever.
Because naturally, of course, death metal bands with their satanic imagery and whatnot. But there is a studio album from 2001 called The Goat of Mendes, which is like a clever allusion to Baphomet by a death metal band from England. And I'm sure there's many other mentions of him within the genre because their death metal's kind of into the whole Satanism thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've heard.
There is also a mention of Baphomet in the least death metal band, the Mountain Goats, in one of their songs, Cry for Judas. There's a lyric about Baphomet.
Surprisingly, not in the song The Best Ever Death Metal Band Out of Denton.
No, that just says Hail Satan.
A bunch of times.
A bunch of times.
Okay, so about the guy who drew that sort of infamous image of the Sabbatic goat who has now been associated with Baphomet.
Yes.
Eliphas Levi.
Yes. Eliphas.
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 And this is, of course, the image of a man, but he's got boobs and a goat head with really big horns and wings, and one hand is pointing it upwards towards the moon, and the other hand is pointing downwards, also towards a different moon. There's a lot going on in this image. Anyway, it was drawn by Eliphas Levi, who evidently changed his name because he was born Alphonse Louis Constant, who was a French esotericist, poet, and author of more than 20 books about magic and occultism.
Ooh.
He was the most influential occultist of the 19th century.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
And unsurprisingly, he was a lapsed Catholic.
Got him.
The reason he changed his name was apparently Eliphas Levi was his attempt to somewhere between translate and transliterate his given name, Alphonse Louis, into the Hebrew language.
Oh, I'm surprised. Where does it say that he is the greatest of the 19th century?
Wikipedia says he's considered the most influential occultist of the 19th century.
Okay.
That makes sense. Because I had thought that that might go to a different guy who I'm looking into, who also talked about the goat-headed man with the titties, which is
that is my gender.
The Englishman Aleister Crowley, who went one step further from being just an occultist and said he was the 666 beast in his lifetime.
Oh.
And then he died in 1947. And then people were like, maybe he was. He had it in his Gnostic Mass, which was a book from when he was traveling in Russia, and really just looks like the word agnostic spelled wrong, which is why I hesitated on that.
It's just Gnostic, right?
I presume it's Gnostic, but I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I enjoy that one Shel Silverstein poem too much. to not pronounce it that way.
Fair enough.
So I am reading a interesting little thing on the Baphomet Wikipedia page that suggests that Levy's depiction of Baphomet is influenced by the Devil tarot card.
What?
It's got a picture of a tarot card from the the early 18th century, the Tarot of Marseilles.
Mm.
And the Devil card does look a lot like a Baphomet. It's got the horns and everything going on, but it's also got a face on its stomach and eyes on its knees, which is weird.
Cute, cute.
Who are you to judge, Evan?
And this also says that he equated the Devil tarot card with Mercury, and that's why he gave him a catechus, quote unquote, rising like a phallus from his groin, to quote S.L. MacGregor Mathers.
But to be, it's not a phallus, it just is very similar.
Yeah.
And in the same place.
Uh-huh.
Right, yeah, of course, obviously. Yeah.
So that's interesting, because, yeah, I guess tarot cards do predate Eliphas Levi.
They do, yes. More about him, though, because on the Baphomet Wikipedia page, it has a lengthy extract from his Dogma and Rituals of High Magic,
mm-hmm.
which was the book that was published containing the image of Baphomet that he had drawn. He is just really, he has a lot to say about what this image represents. I'm not going to read you this whole chonky paragraph, but the sort of generality of it is he's androgynous. The flame of intelligence shining between his horns is the magic light of the universal balance. The non-genital genital rod apparently symbolizes eternal life. And humanity is represented by the boobs. So there you go. Yeah. It seems as though his Baphomet was not necessarily intended to be an evil figure in any way, shape, or form.
Well, no, he was an occultist.
Right. He was a non-intentionally evil occultist who was just sort of like doing his thing and trying to represent universal balance in all of its ways. And that image sort of came to signify a bunch of evil shit by its later association with the devil, and also because certain groups of people think that the combination of strictly defined categories is inherently evil.
Reject it all.
I'm one of those people. Being non-binary actually did make me a supervillain.
Okay.
It is evil.
It made you point up at the moon and become a metal philosopher.
But also down at the other moon and have breasts that represent humanity. When I say I study the humanities, that's what I mean.
So I've been reading, there's this very fascinating National Geographic article called Horns, Hooves, and Hell, The Devil in Medieval Times by Marina Montesano. Obviously, the Baphomet is, that image is like spawned a lot of modern devil with goat horns, but it clearly goes before that. And there's a section in here talking about how through medieval theater, like what we view as the devil kind of came to be, and a lot about like its qualities and also like the Lucifer Paradise Lost story.
Mm-hmm.
There was like proto seeds of that. But there's this mention in here about as Christianity took root in the Roman world, early worshippers rejected pagan gods and believed them to be evil spirits. One of these was Pan, half goat, half man, lusty god of nature, whose carnal appetites made him easy to associate with the forbidden. And so I guess the assertion here, although who knows how well researched this is, but I'm inclined to believe it, is that the whole kind of co-opting previous kind of beliefs and then rejecting the things that they didn't like in the Christian paradigm kind of led to the devil being a goat man.
Yeah, and another sort of instance of the devil being a goat man is actually more tarot, because Levi was inspired by the Marseille tarot for his Baphomet, and his drawing of Baphomet influenced the later Rider-Waite tarot design for the devil. So if you look at the Rider-Waite devil, he's got the like one hand up, one hand down, he's got like a star between his horns, he's got the weird goat legs and goat head, although he does have the added bonus of having like chicken feet for some reason, which was definitely not from Levi's Baphomet drawing. So I guess that was Rider-Waite just sort of having fun with the inspiration.
It's mix and match, you know. Before they took man, they put goat legs on him, but then they put the goat head on. He was like, nah, 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 gotta change it up. The next devil's just gonna be a chicken.
Also separately, Baphomet is in D&D.
Oh, he is. He's a big, dare I say, attractive bull man from the abyss.
Wait, hang on. Now that you've dared to say attractive, I need to look him up.
Dude.
Okay, Forgotten Realms Wiki.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Mitchell, I don't want to say I'm questioning your taste, but I am.
Here's the thing.
Let me check the other editions.
Yes, because the fifth edition Baphomet is very much like full-on goat demon.
Yeah. Hey, can I say? All of these are full on, like, goat, bull, demon. Which of these do you find sexy?
There's something about the first edition black and white one where it just shows him. It just shows him from the chest up, and he's just kind of got this facial expression of
he is ripped, but he also. we're just gonna have to link this page in the show notes because I can't even describe it. Just know that not what I'm into, but I won't yuck.
He likes he likes mazes and animals. Those are things I like as well. We have shared interests.
Look out, the Forgotten Realms wiki lists Baphomet's relationships.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Okay. He hated Yinogu?
Fuck
Yinogu,
yeah.
Mitchell?
Yinogu Yinagu, the demon prince of gnolls.
They were bitter enemies, and he and Pale Knight shared a lair together and had neighbors with an unofficial non-interference pact. So that's nice.
Well, that's kind.
That's fun.
You know.
Good for them.
See? Caring can be civil and form social bonds. I'm just saying, the case for Baphomet from D&D and not the real one, because I'm not a Satanist, is getting better and better.
Yeah, I mean, also the real one. I don't even... Do Satanists worship Baphomet, or is that just what Christians think Satanists do?
As far as I know about Satanists, most of them are actually atheists who are doing it as, like, an elaborate bit to make fun of religion.
Yes. Fair. I will say I'm on the Wikipedia page for Satanism, and there are two sections. Theistic, which has exactly one sentence, and then atheistic, which is multiple paragraphs.
On the Wikipedia page for the Church of Satan, apparently the Church of Satan does not espouse a belief in Satan as an entity who literally exists, and they do not encourage the worship of Satan as a deity. Mm-hmm. However, one of the official symbols of both Levian Satanism and the Church of Satan is the Sigil of Baphomet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if you've seen it, a pentagram. It looks like kind of an upside down five-pointed star with a goat's head in it. So like the two horns are 2 points, the two ears are 2 points, and like the goat beard is the final point. So they don't literally worship Baphomet, but he sure is in their branding.
According to their Wikipedia page, they see him as a positive archetype who represents pride, individualism, and enlightenment as a symbol of defiance against the Abrahamic faiths.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it is inherently like tension and force.
Yeah, they're embracing it because it's anti-Christian, and that's sort of what they're going for.
Wasn't that the whole thing with the statue that they put up? Am I remembering this wrong?
I think, like, yeah, they managed to get an actual Baphomet statue put up somewhere and, like, got it legally upheld, I think.
Okay, hold on.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I remember reading about this a while ago.
I also maybe a couple minutes because I'm currently looking at a Google Books preview of a book called Extraordinary Goats.
Extraordinary goats.
Subtitle: Meetings with Remarkable Goats, Caprine Wonders, and Horned Troublemakers.
Okay, so here's the story about the statue of Baphomet, which has its own Wikipedia page. I guess there's only one. It was a bronze sculpture commissioned by the Satanic Temple, first unveiled in Detroit in 2015, and then there have been various petitions to display it, to display this 8.5-tall statue on like various places in public grounds. Evidently, it was prominent in the documentary Hail Satan? But the original intention was to display it at the Oklahoma State Capitol, and the initial fundraising for it, which was crowdfunded, was because there was a monument of the Ten Commandments. So very much like the, if you want the church and state barrier to come down, but also freedom of religion, why shouldn't we be allowed to put up a big goat man next to the Ten Commandments? Evidently, yeah. Artist Mark Porter forged the sculpture in Florida using the drawing by Eliphas Levy as the basis for all of it. And it is a 3D representation, although it looks like he doesn't have the boobs.
Mm-mm.
But there are two small children looking up at him. So maybe they thought that would be like complicate the message. You know, I don't speak for Satanists.
I'm glad. I think they can speak for themselves. Interestingly, according to this book, yes. Extraordinary Goats, my new favorite book, Baphomet was not the origin of the goat as satanic imagery.
Oh.
The Knights Templar were accused of worshipping Baphomet because he was, like, Baphomet wasn't necessarily associated with Satan, but goats already were, so it was a very easy leap to make.
Mm-hmm.
The reason goats are considered satanic is the same reason we have the word scapegoat in English. The Hebrew ceremony celebrating the Day of Atonement involved two goats, one which would be sacrificed, and one which would be released. The task of the released goat eventually sort of mythologically became taking humanity's sin to Satan in the Christian tradition.
Oh.
And so humanity's sin began to be associated with both goats and Satan.
Oh, but
there's also sort of the issue of goats being associated with sex, which then gets associated with Satan.
Okay.
Oh, but that's not, when you release the goat and you put all the sins onto it, that's not the goat's fault.
No, it's not, but I guess they needed a scapegoat, huh? And the goat was officially, or not officially, but like the goat was definitively a symbol of Satan by the time of the Inquisition.
Okay.
And then the Knights Templar happened and the Catholic Church was like, you guys worship Baphomet because that's a goat demon looking thing and that's an easy thing to accuse you of.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then 800 years later, Dan Brown was born. I will say, this is going to be a plug, I just finished Foucault's Pendulum by Umberto Eco, which is about like all this occult stuff, but to a ridiculous degree, like he's making fun of it, and it is much better book than any of like Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code lost symbol nonsense, which I did not enjoy nearly as much.
Mm.
Also, I'm not going to imply anything, but Evan, you brought up the mountain goats, and I've just been looking at photos of them.
Yes.
And there is a photo in which I don't know any of these people, but one of them does have the little, like, just the pointy beard going below the chin.
Oh, that would be John Darnielle in his beard phase.
John Darnielle's kind of rocking the Baphomet beard.
He really does have the Baphomet beard going on, yes.
And you know what? Good for him.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe one of our last things here. Baphomet was involved in a hoax. The Taxil
hoax. The Baphomet hoax.
No, the Taxil hoax.
Okay.
So the Taxil hoax was an 1890s hoax of exposure by Leo Taxil intended to mock not only Freemasonry, but also the Catholic Church's opposition to it. And Leo Taxil was the pen name of Marie-Joseph Gabriel Antoine Jogan Page.
Whew!
So yes, this man with a very normal length name had earlier been accused of libel regarding a book he wrote called The Secret Loves of Pope Pius IX.
Nice. Nice.
This man is an icon. Okay. Taxil underwent a public feigned conversion to Roman Catholicism and announced his intention of repairing the damage he had done to true faith. And so he produced a 4-volume history of Freemasonry, which contained fictitious eyewitness verifications of their participation in Satanism.
Okay.
Oh, no!
And he wrote another book called The Devil in the 19th Century, which was contained many tales about this woman, Diana Vaughan, who was totally made up, her encounters with incarnate demons, and she was supposedly involved in satanic Freemasonry, but was redeemed one day when she professed admiration for Joan of Arc.
Huh.
I mean, she was a saint.
And then,
but weird thing eventually, to include in your piece against the church, though, I guess.
Yeah, eventually, Leo Taxil, otherwise known as Marie-Joseph Gabriel Antoine Jogan Page, he called a press conference on April 19th, 1897, at which he claimed he would introduce this character, Diana Vaughan, to the press. At the conference instead, he announced that his revelations about the Freemasons were fictitious. He thanked the Catholic clergy for their assistance in giving publicity to his wild claims.
The camera.
And apparently, the hoax material is still cited to this day. Oh. The Chick Publications tract, The Curse of Baphomet, and Randy Noblett's book on satanic ritual abuse, called Cult and Ritual Abuse, both cite Taxil's fictitious claims.
Oh my god, of course they do.
One more quick thing about Marie-Joseph Gabriel Antoine Jogan Page.
Right, yeah.
He invented a fake city underneath Lake Geneva in another one of his hoaxes, and actually got archaeologists to go looking for his fake underwater city.
Dude, the man was a prank legend.
This man is so cool. I wish it was still the days where you could do hoaxes professionally.
Professional hoaxer. Oh my god. His three of his names probably aren't real with his track record.
Good, he has too many.
Hey, and you want to know one more thing about Marie-Joseph Gabriel Antoine Jogampage?
Whew.
Unsurprisingly, he was a lapsed Catholic.
Hell yeah.
This is just the lapsed Catholic episode.
It really is.
Mitchell, I think you had one more thing.
Oh, it was just a confirmation of my earlier hypothesis, because I like to cover my bases. This is a BBC news article, Decoding the Symbols on Staten's Statue, by James Morgan, who now, it's just, they can't find him. I don't know why. I don't know what happened to him. Guess he decided to decode those symbols. Bad idea. Apparently, the Baphomet statue, they did indeed take the breasts off, using the direct quote, because apparently they didn't want to get embroiled in a debate about gender, which might distract from what the church believes, or the temple believes, are the more important messages of the Baphomet.
Right, yeah. Yeah, obviously.
God.
Oh, boy.
God, sometimes I wish someone would remove my breasts. I think they're distracting from the more important message of who I am as a person.
As a Baphomet.
Hey, what have we learned today?
Satan.
So.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Just Satan.
Just Satan.
Satan is a goat because there's a long tradition in Christian thought of associating the figure of Satan or Lucifer with sort of Pan and other pagan gods that had goat-like features. And so this all led to the eventual creation of the figure of Baphomet.
There are also other kind of convergent factors that led to Satan being transferred from an angel to a snake to a goat man, one of which being the ritual in which sins were and guilt were cast onto a goat and the goat was released back to Satan, which is also where we get the term scapegoat.
The arguable most famous image of Baphomet, which sort of kicked off a lot of other notions about Satan and Baphomet and goats in popular thought, was drawn by Eliphas Levi. It was in his Dogma and Rituals of Great Magic. It was drawn specifically not to be evil or satanic, but just because he was an occultist, to sort of like signify balance in the universe, hence why it's got one arm up and one arm down, hence why it's half goat, half man, hence why it's got boobs, which also, according to the artist, symbolize humanity, but they did take the boobs off when the Satanic temple wanted to put up a statue of Baphomet to sort of prove their point about separation of church and state, because the boobs would have been distracting.
Mm.
The Church of Satan does not actually worship Satan. Instead, they are all about atheism and sort of like being antithetical to specifically Abrahamic religious traditions. And they use Satan, and specifically the Baphomet, as a symbol for this sort of anti-religious stance.
Of course, many depictions of Baphomet, and also just the archetype of Satan as a goat in media, some of the best ones are in music, with a variety of death metal bands, and also the Mountain Goats, a definitively not death metal band.
There's a couple different options for where the etymology of the name Baphomet came from. Actually, a lot of options that we didn't even cover. Sorry, I just saw some Greek that we didn't talk about. And it might have come from some Byzantine Greek stuff. It's not out of the question that Baphomet was a correct hearing of Bapho, meaning painted, Baphomai, like I am painted, or Bathu, deep. But the two etymologies we talked about are an old French version of Mahomet and a sort of coded phrase meaning Basileus Philosophorum Metallorum, meaning the sovereign of metallurgical philosophers. Anyway, we don't know where the name comes from.
Leo Taxil invented a hoax.
Yes!
Leo Taxil also was really named Marie-Joseph Gabriel Antoine Jogampage. Too many names. And he invented a hoax meant to discredit both Freemasonry and Catholic opposition to Freemasonry by creating a book about Freemasons and how they actually worshipped Satan, and then eventually revealing that it was fake. And he, like everyone else, was a lapsed Catholic.
But people still cite his fake work today.
Also,
yikes.
Don't decode the symbols on Satan's statue. Just don't do it, man!
Yeah, leave those symbols alone.
Bad idea.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this possibly blasphemous episode. We really appreciate it. If you like the show, please share it with a friend. If you hate the show, please take the boobs off of it. And either way, follow us on Instagram at 3DWPcast. I'm Gus.
I'm Mitchell.
And I'm Evan.
And this has been Three Dudes Wearing Plaid. Have a great day.
Next time on Three Dudes Wearing Plaid. Joaquin Phoenix, the three J's, Jesus, Joker, and just wants to fuck an AI robot.
The fourth J stands for Joaquin.
A man of many J's.
Hey, how many J's have you got?
Oh, not as many as Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin, Joaquin, Joaquin Phoenix. He won. Did you hear? He won the Joscars. Just right. Jactor Joaquin Phoenix.
Is he made of denim? Is this like a jorts situation?
Find out next week on Three Dudes Wearing Plaid.